Romans chapter 8, just the first verse. I woke up this morning thinking about this verse, and the question came to my mind, what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? And so let's read Romans 8 and 1 together out loud here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in Christ Jesus, what does that mean? I got up and went to my computer and to the Bible program. I got to find a better one because when I type in the letters in Christ, you know, you would hope that just that phrase, in Christ, the two words right next to each other would come up. But no, in is at the beginning of the verse, and Christ is clear at the end. So you work your way through dozens of scriptures and finally find all that you are looking for. And I put these in four categories, so we'll go through at least some of the verses of Scripture that will help us to understand what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Because that's where I want to be. Yes. Amen. And the Bible lets us know it's possible, otherwise this verse wouldn't be in there. And there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that's wonderful. Walking not after the flesh, and after the Spirit. That takes some discipline now. That takes some commitment. Because the devil, the world, and your flesh want to go another way. But you've got to discipline. That's what a disciple is in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Now, as I thought about this, in can have a variety of meanings, right? In reference to your place or your position or your standing. You can be in school. You can be in a program. You can be in trouble. just what's going on with you in reference to the experiences that you are having at the moment, or for the foreseeable future. And obviously, the relationship with Jesus Christ is what this verse of Scripture and all the verses of Scripture that I'm going to share with you tonight have to deal with, being a part of. And obviously, the actions that you take are going to indicate whether you are a part of or in relationship with Jesus Christ or not. You can erode that relationship. You can ignore that relationship, much to your detriment. But if you are walking after the Spirit and you're crucifying the flesh, I know that doesn't sound very positive. It doesn't sound very helpful, but the Scripture lets us know it is. Paul declaring, I die daily, and the outward man perishing day by day, the inward man being renewed. We know that there's a transition that's got to be taking place in the spiritual realm from my life into the new life that the Lord has available for me. So saying no to yourself and not walking after the flesh and saying yes to the Lord by walking after His Spirit. It's a continuation. It's a continuous journey. Not one that is interrupted, not one that you take a vacation from or a time out or any of those kinds of things. You're continuing, walking in the light as He is in the light. And thank God there's that ability that we have to choose. That's what makes you different from all the rest of God's creation. You can choose. You can reason. You can understand. And we choose to sow to the Spirit so that we have the right outcome. Not choosing to sow to the flesh because we don't want that outcome. You can't change the outcomes. People want to be able to make a choice and then be able to change the outcome. It doesn't work that way. The Lord let us know whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So when the scripture tells us in Galatians 5 to sow to the Spirit so that you can reap life everlasting, we say, aha, that's the direction I'm going to go. That's what I'm going to choose. But here comes the devil and the world and your flesh and say, oh, that's too hard. That's too difficult. God is love. God is grace. God will overlook. You can go ahead and sow to your flesh. It's okay. But it's not, because you will reap corruption. You will. And God help us to be able to make the right choice. So we want to see the benefit of being in Christ. Now, there's in Christ in terms of what is in him, like Galatians 5, or rather 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. This is part of what Brother Taylor was referring to here. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, because God is one. And he was manifest in the flesh. He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. They didn't accept him. But thank God, we recognize God's plan and what God desires to do. So that in Christ is powerful. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Woo! That's power. That's a lot. And thank God, Colossians 2 and 9 doesn't end, but goes on to say, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. That builds my trust and my faith in him. Amen. So the in him that I want to emphasize is to see what we gain and how we benefit from being in relationship with Christ. Praise God. And obviously, it starts with salvation. Thank God for so great salvation that Hebrews lets us know is possible. And I thank the Lord that he paid the price for that. All right, Romans 3:24, we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture tonight. And it's going to hopefully help us to see the benefits of being in Christ. Romans 3:24. We're being justified. Notice it's being. It's a continuation. It's happening now. It took place when you repented. It took place when you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It took place when you received his Spirit, and keeps happening. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank God. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the salvation that is so great, the deliverance that is so powerful, and then the additional benefits that are included in this verse, being justified, having his grace applied, amen, and how we are freely blessed in these areas and many more. Thank God that there is that power. In the Greek, redemption means ransom in full. We buy things on a payment plan sometimes. If you're a follower of Dave Ramsey and the financial advisor and counselor and so on, you try to pay cash. But America's way, payment plan. The Lord didn't buy you on a payment plan. He paid in full. It's a done deal. Praise God. He paid the price. He completed it. Praise God. And so redemption means paid in full. It means deliverance. The Lord provided deliverance for you. So that this is the outcome. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. In that relationship of salvation, you become a new creature. Because the Creator is at work in you. It's not a a distance relationship in the sense that the God who spoke everything into existence is off visiting another galaxy and he doesn't have time for you. No, he has made you in his image. Praise God. And so, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Praise God. Oh, I'm so glad the Lord gives us another chance. I'm so glad the Lord is able to bring a change from our previous life and make us a new creature. Old things pass away. We've got to let that happen. You can't be holding on. Amen. What would it be like if we were driving down a neighborhood road and you saw a man in his yard with a whole bunch of clothespins, and he's trying to pick up every leaf that has fallen, and he's putting them on the limb again with a clothespin? You'd think he's needs to call the chaplain. We have to let it pass. You have to let it go. And that's what you have to do with your former life. Every habit, every thought, every compulsion or addiction, everything, let it go. Amen. It will pass. And behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Let go of every sin. Let go of every failure. Let go of every habit that is not going to help you get closer to God and reach for the things that the Lord is making new. Hallelujah. Receive what he has for you. Praise God. And be accustomed to the new and live in that realm day after day after day. Thank God. Because there's always more. Oh, how much more. You ought to mark that in your Bible program and see much more comes up again and again in the Scripture. Praise God, because that's what God has in store for you. You're his creation. You're his new creature, and he's not going to stop. Ephesians 2 and 10 lets us know we are his workmanship. This is part of the salvation. This is part of what God wants to do in your life. You know, there are those who, there are a lot of theories of creation, and evolution is a theory. I know they're calling it a fact, but it's still just a theory. Nobody can, you know, it can't be proven, even though they say it is. No, it's a theory. And theistic evolution is a theory as well. That means God started the process of evolution and then just stepped back and let it go on its millions and billions of years. God doesn't do that with your salvation. He doesn't get it started and then just step back and say, well, let's see how they do. Hope you make it, Kendra. I'm glad you received the Holy Ghost and got baptized in the name above every name. Let's hope you survive. No, God doesn't do that. We are his workmanship. Ephesians 2 and 10. The emphasis on creation again. Read this one with me, please. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise God. God working in you. How amazing is that? The Lord displaying his power and his goodness in your life. Praise the Lord. In the end of Colossians 1, Paul is mentioning his preaching and his warning and the wisdom that he tries to use in his preaching and warning, in order to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And then he goes on in verse 29, and he says, I'm striving, I'm laboring according to God's working. And I like the way he says it, which worketh in me mightily. That's what God's working in you. mightily. Praise God. Amen. Don't let the devil cheat you out of that. Don't let the devil downgrade your experience into a lesser experience with the Lord. No. Amen. Let it work mightily. Hallelujah. And thank God the Lord can demonstrate that He is working mightily as He brings you through every trial and every test. Praise God. Workmanship in the Greek means a product. You are God's product. A thing that is made. Amen. And so that making is ongoing. It's continuous. It's what the Lord desires to do for you. So His workmanship, some of the workmanship that we see is beautiful. It's wonderful. This pulpit, the railings, you know, Brother David did a tremendous job. Just His workmanship. And these pews. These pews are 30 years old, Brother Rick. And they were made by prison ministries. Guys in prison made them. And they're doing pretty good. Doing really well. And we paid probably, well, at least half, less than half of what we'd have been able to get them from a pew manufacturer. And here they were made down the road. Too bad that program's not going anymore. It was a good program. But we recognize they were made. And the workmanship is obvious. God's workmanship in you is obvious. Amen. Let it continue. Let it strive on, because God wants to work in you mightily. Okay, back to Romans 8. Verse 2, after there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. That is a powerful statement. And I'm glad for the Spirit of life. That's part of the salvation that the Lord has provided for us. The Lord said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He identified the work of Satan. He knows that was what he came to do. He called him a father of lies. There's no truth in him. He's a murderer from the beginning. You know, you need to understand that some of the things going on in our world right now, being motivated by satanic forces, is not good. Not going to have a good outcome. The devil's not going to make things easy for you, make things better for you. No, he's a thief. He's a liar. He'll steal, he'll kill, he'll destroy. But the Lord said, I am come that they might have life. And life more abundantly. Thank God for the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. To quicken means to give life. And thank God the Lord quickened us. And there is a quickening that is coming. According to verse 11 in Romans chapter 8, I like the way resurrection is mentioned again in this verse of Scripture, because it helps us to understand the Lord has power to do a miraculous work. And He has that kind of power to make a difference in your life. Now, that's happening now. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, thank God it can dwell in you. Not just over you, not just around you, can dwell in you. Amen. Because it's not dependent on circumstances and situations that are going on around you. It's not dependent on any of the external things that happen. No, it's in you. He that quickened Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Put verse 11 up, please, if you would, Brother Levi, Romans 8, 11. Thank God for resurrection power. And that change is going to come. That difference is going to happen because He was raised up. and that resurrection power is going to be applied to you. Now, that applies to us right here and now, and it also is coming. It's going to happen. Amen. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Eternal life, a quickening that is forever. Praise God. And that power has made me free from sin and death. God's creative power at work is not designed to fail, not designed to falter, not designed to fall apart. It will continue on. Praise God. Romans 6, three times, makes the statement, you are free from sin. Chapter 6, verse 7, verse 18, and verse 22. All say, free from sin. Praise God. I'm thankful to be born again and to be free from sin. Praise God. And to continue on with old things passing away, all things becoming new, because that opens up the door for us. Verse 14 of Romans 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. A very powerful statement in just a few words. But thank God, that's what we can live day by day. Sin has no dominion over you. It can't force you. It can't make you. It can't move you without your will. And verse 12 of Romans 6 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it be in control. It doesn't have dominion. It doesn't have control. Amen. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. Praise God. That's the old thing passing away. And that's why in Romans 6, he makes several statements about how you yield. You used to yield to sin. Now, yield your members, servants of the Lord, following after righteousness, following after holiness. Let there be that change. Let there be all things becoming new. Praise God. Yield to the Spirit of God, not to sin. And let's continue on in the power of the Lord. Praise God. So that's salvation. The second one, a part of being in Christ, is your position of power. Ephesians 2 and 13. I said we're going to be doing a lot of scripture. You are made nigh. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Praise God. Amen. I like how the evangelist said, the promise is unto you. He's quoting 239, the book of Acts. The promise is unto you and to your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, and how that is going to be there, even to those that are afar off. So, if you consider yourself far off or close, oh, a little off. That's even better. You consider yourself a little off, or if you're close by, praise God, it applies to you. Okay, so you're made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. There's that power again. The blood of Christ. Huh, my goodness. The study you can make as far as how powerful that is and how applicable that is and how extensive it is in terms of making peace. He purchased peace by the blood of his cross. Amen. Thank God that he has made us nigh. We were without hope and without God, but thank the Lord, we're no longer living that way. Now we do have hope. Now we do have the Lord. And verse 14 talks about the wall being broken down. And we're both one now, talking about Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews. Thank God we can be one body. And that's the benefit of being in Christ. Romans 12 and 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Praise God. Thank the Lord there's many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. And thank God that many includes everyone. Nobody needs to be left out. And we're made to be one body in Christ, members one of another. Now, let me test your memory. What are the mottos on a coin, a U.S. coin? What's on there? What's in God we trust? Which is, people don't trust in God, they trust in that currency. And then, if you're a Latin expert, e pluribus unum. What in the world does that mean? E pluribus unum. Anybody know what it means? Okay. Out of many, one. Oh, you had the principle. You had the right idea there. And it's better than the Three Musketeers. All for one and one for all. No. Seems like we've got a lot of division going on in our country right now. Instead of out of many, one. It seems like we're going different directions now and fragmenting instead of being united. God help us. We need a revival. We need a revival. You know, I was thinking about that verse that the things that can be shaken will be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. We can't get upset when that starts to happen. We've got to make sure we're in the kingdom that cannot be shaken, is not going to be moved. You got to make sure that's where we are. Amen. Completely, totally, wholly in that place where God wants us to be, because there's some things coming. Amen. God help us. But thank the Lord we can have unity. We can have one, being many, one. Thank God there's growth that the Lord desires to put in his church, members one of another. We being many, praise God. And I believe that potential is right here. Hallelujah. And we being many, we're going to see the good things that God has in store for us. Praise the Lord. Paul called for unity. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, and when he uses that term, I beseech you, he's really trying to drive his point. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Look at that. That plea for no divisions. Be joined together. Speak the same. Have the same mind. Use the same judgment. That unity is so important. Paul was trying to emphasize that. And thank God that's our place we can be as we've been made nigh to the Lord and then made nigh to one another, the body of Christ, and the unity that needs to be there. Being together, thank God, together is where the Lord wants us to be, because we're going to be caught up together. Praise God. Amen. So, Ephesians 2 and 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the resurrection. Amen. It permeates what the apostles write, because it's a powerful, powerful point that we need to rely upon again and again, because it shows God's power as champion, as conqueror over death, over the grave. Thank God he raised us up. And he put us in heavenly places. And those heavenly places can be here and now. Thank God, the experiences that we have in his presence, the power of the Lord that is displayed in great times and wonderful times of worship and praise that we've had together. Praise God. It happens here, and it is going to happen there. We'll be in that heavenly place together forever. And notice how Paul uses together twice in this verse. He's trying to emphasize. He's using repetition to emphasize, be together. Amen. Don't be separated. Don't be divided. No, be unified. Praise God. And in Ephesians, the short letter to the Ephesians, heavenly places is used four times as though to emphasize, this is what God's going to bring you into. This is what the Lord's going to show you. This is how the Lord's going to lead you. He's going to bless you with heavenly places. Thank God. And those are times of refreshing. Those are times in the presence of the Lord that we enjoy his power so wonderfully and just thrilled and overwhelmed with how gracious and how good our God is. Amen. To give the assurance that he is going to lead you and guide you. Praise God. So it's a high calling. Philippians 3 and 14. Read this one with me, please. Philippians 3 and 14. We'll read together. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's what I experience in the Lord. That's what I want to have happen. It's a high calling. God's going to lift you up. He's not going to push you down. He will lift you up. There will be strengthening. There will be uplifting. There will be encouragement. And we move up closer to the Lord. Praise God. Paul talked about the weak and beggarly elements of the world when he was writing to the Galatians. Now, don't let yourself get trapped and caught up and entangled with those things. The weak and beggarly elements of the world. Now, he's talking about tradition. And he's also talking about the world. They're weak and they're beggarly. They're not going to fulfill. They're not going to be satisfying. No, you turn to the things of God, amen, and recognize that high calling. Praise God. John heard the Spirit of God say, come up hither. Amen. And the Lord took him and showed him many things. He caught away in the Spirit. Praise God. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. And where he was didn't stop him from experiencing great things in the Lord. Those are those heavenly places that the Lord wants to bring us to. In spite of the problems, in spite of the setbacks, in spite of the difficulties, praise God, the Lord has powerful things in store for you that he wants to show you. He wants to reveal to you. And thank God, there's that blessing and strength that he will have take place when we are caught up together to meet him in the air. Praise God. All right, the third category, the bountiful benefits of being in Christ. Abundance. Wow. Amazing what the Lord has for us. Romans 8 and 39. Here's the comparison of what could try to separate you from love, the love of the Lord. And he lists 17 different things, and this is the end of that list. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. And no matter how you view the list, understand it's not going to be successful to keep the love of God from you. Amen. Now, the only element, the only entity, the only force that can keep you from the love of God is you. You can walk away from it. You can forsake it. You can ignore it. But thank God, nothing else can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't let anything keep you from his love. Don't let any idol come between you and God. Amen. Let the power of the Lord lead you. Let the power of the Lord strengthen you. Let his love envelop you. Hallelujah. Thank God. No wonder Hebrews 2 and 3 calls it so great salvation. It is. Amen. All right, Galatians 3 and 26. There's faith. Faith that is a bountiful benefit of being in Christ. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, wow, being a child of God. Talk about privilege. Talk about power. Amen. There's blessing and strength and goodness that the Lord has in store for us. So we put our faith in the one who has never failed. And we live in that faith. We walk in that faith. Praise God. We operate in that faith, trusting the Lord to be there. Now, the apostles say the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold. You know, I like to recognize it's more precious than gold, but I sure don't like the trial. But yet, that's how it works. That's how it operates, because your faith has got to become stronger. And thank God, as a child of God, we have special access to the Lord by faith. And we continue in that desire, in that direction. Let that faith grow, let it increase, let it operate, and let it access all that God has for you. Praise God. Believing him, trusting him, relying upon him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Thank God. And thank the Lord that we've experienced that. Not just an old, old song, but a reality that we have in our walk with God. Okay. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. This is purpose and grace, some of the benefits that we have for being in Christ. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Who hath saved us, thank God, and called us, thank God, with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That took some planning. That's design. A lot of discussion and debate about design. Thank God our God designed our salvation before the world began. He had it planned. He had it worked out. Praise God. His purpose and his grace was ready to go into operation. Not by works which we have done, Paul wrote to Titus, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Wow, how powerful that is, Titus 3 and 5. And thank God we can know the blessing of the Lord to continue to move in us. So his purpose with a holy calling is to change you to what he wants you to be. He wants you to be holy. Praise God. He wants you to be different. He wants you to be close to him. Amen. I love the statement that the Lord makes in Isaiah, the high and lofty one, the one who inhabits eternity. I dwell in a high and holy place. He's not just emphasizing that he's far separated from us. No, he goes on to say, with him that is of a contrite heart, humble spirit, to revive. You want revival? Amen. He'll revive the contrite. He'll revive the humble. because they're the ones with that attitude that recognize, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I can't make it on my own. I can't make it myself. I need you. Praise God. And the high and lofty one says, you're going to dwell with me. Praise God. Thank the Lord. I believe that's Isaiah 57:15. We better make sure here, huh? 57:15. Okay, Isaiah. All right, so he's called us with a holy calling. And we're saved, we're called. Praise God. His grace is at work within us. And his purpose is to make us holy. You know, grace gives before it requires. Now, it will require. It will. Titus 2 and 14, I believe it is, it says, the grace of God, which appeared to all men, bringing salvation, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly and godly in this present world. Oh, I wish I was living in the time of the apostles. Really? The Romans can imprison you for one silly little fault? And corruption, you know, without correction? Well, we're living in a good time. We're living in the time the trumpet's going to sound. Praise God. Hallelujah. And thank God we can live the way God wants us to live in this present world because grace teaches us. Jude, the book of Jude, the one chapter, talks about those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They want license to live however they want to live. The grace of God, the love of God. God is a God of judgment, too. And what you sow is what you're going to reap. God help us to live the way he wants us to live. Amen. And thank God that brings us into the realm of his power. Okay, 2 Timothy 2 and 1. This is still about grace. Thank God that it's possible to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that grace. Grace is not weak. Grace is not namby-pamby. It's not any of the phrases that we might use to say that it's not a force. It's weak. No. It's powerful. And you can be strong in that grace which is in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord. And I'm so thankful that there's that kind of power that the Lord makes in our lives because that brings triumph. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Let's read this one together again. Reading out loud. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Praise God. That sounds victorious. That sounds powerful because it is. Amen. God is an uncaused cause. I don't know all the philosophy about that, but I like the way it sounds. God is an uncaused cause. Praise God. And he causes us, everybody say us, to triumph in Christ. Amen. There's victory. There's power. There's overcoming. There's dominion. There's strength. All of these things combined that the Lord provides for you now. Praise God. Amen. And on top of that, the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Him is going to be made manifest by you. Your life of victory, your life of overcoming, your life, not just your words. Your lips can move, but your life has got to show it. You got to live it. And that is what brings forth the sweet fragrance of His knowledge to everybody else. Because they say, it works. It works. Praise God. And thank the Lord. There's that blessing that God will provide by us in every place. Amen. Oh, that place is too hard. Oh, that place is too sinful. No. Every place God will show His power and His blessing. Amen. Every place, everywhere, every time, everyone. God will use you. God will empower you. God will strengthen you. Our time is going fast. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You believe in Him. You trust Him. You obey Him. You walk with Him, praise God, in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans 7, the apostle uses the pronoun I over 30 times. I. And he ends it by saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Praise God. And he answers the same question himself. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Hallelujah. That's the answer. That's the way. That's the strength. Praise God. And I thank the Lord there is deliverance. Praise God. To be in Christ Jesus. You know, we didn't read in the latter verses of Galatians 3, we read about the faith that is in Christ Jesus and being in Christ. As many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, whether they be Jew or Greek, whether they be bond or free, whether they be male or female. Ah, there's a major key right there. Because the old covenant was only the male. Circumcision, only the male. But now, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins is everyone putting on Christ. Hallelujah. Knowing what it is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what Colossians 1:27 says. And I thank God that that is the power of the Spirit of God that comes within us. And that power is demonstrated to deliver us, to strengthen us, to move us further into His realm and into His glory. Praise God. No condemnation. Don't agree with the accuser. Revelation 12 talks about the accuser of the brethren. Don't agree with him. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Amen. And he's out to steal from you and to kill your hope and destroy your soul. But don't agree. No condemnation. Don't agree with Satan. Don't agree with yourself. Don't agree with sinners. There's a lot of mockery of your faith and your belief. But thank God, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And you can bring condemnation to that liar. Praise God. Amen. And that's what your faith does. That's why Satan hates you. Because you're showing you can overcome. You're demonstrating you can be delivered. You can be sustained by salvation that is so great. And he hates that because he lost it with his pride and with his self-will. But thank God, we live by the Spirit of God and by His truth. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, combined together, so powerful. Stand with me, please. We want to have a season of prayer here. because we hopefully recognize, wow, there's a lot to being in Christ. And we just touched on, I guarantee you, we just touched on a very few. You want to study this out a little bit further, you'll be amazed at how much is there. Praise God. And it will be a study that goes on for a while, because no doubt you'll stop and just praise the Lord and thank God that you are in Christ. Praise God. And those blessings of the Lord are powerful. Would you come to the front here? We're going to worship the Lord for a few minutes. We're looking forward to our fellowship downstairs, but I believe God's got something here for us right now. Praise God.